have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, Making Marriage Meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Into his presence, press into Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
And good evening to you, my friends, people of God, you married folks, you married. On Making Marriage Meaningful. Oh, we going to talk about some stuff tonight. I'm talking about we going to talk about some deep stuff. So you want to call your neighbors, call your friend, get your dog Rover and listen in, because it's going to be good. Now, let me put this disclaimer out there. I am not a relationship expert. I just share things based upon what God has shared with me over the past number of decades of being in relationship, out of relationship, being married and whatnot. I've dealt with some stuff that have taught me some stuff that I can help you with some stuff. That, I believe. This other disclaimer, this conversation around tip, whew, this is some real stuff, but I got to warn you, it's raw. At the end of the day, it's relevant. We're going to tell you some things that's going to help you in your relationship matters. We've got going. Now, listen, I don't do it by myself, right? I've got some people who do help me, and I know that every one of my my panelists are not able to be here, but those who are here, oh, we going to talk some Bible. We going to talk some experience. We going to talk some real talk. I'm trying to tell you, you better tell somebody right away that Apostle Whitlow is live with Making Marriage Meaningful. Don't let them miss it. If you're following by Facebook, you want to tag somebody, share somebody, especially somebody who's in a relationship, in a marriage or something like that, they need to know some stuff. You know, because some folk are relationship illiterate, but we're going to help them tonight, bring them up to speed. Some folk are relationship illegitimate. We still want to bring them up to speed. All right, so let me say this. I don't do it by myself. I got some great folk who share with me, and I share with them, and we talk about this stuff on a regular basis. I'm talking about, first of all, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Amen. He's in that northern region. He's a smart one. He's the one with the doctorate degree. Amen. Apostle Vincent L. Smith, come on and say hello to the people. I hope he's unmuted, because he's wanting to hear. Okay, so I don't hear him. Well, let's try this then. Let's try that other preacher who talks about a whole lot of everything because he knows a little bit of something about everything he talk about. I'm talking about Bishop Designate Ernest E. Richard Jr. Come on, sir. Say hello to the people. Okay, so apparently that's not happening. Well, I know who is here because they love these times of conversation.
I am here, Bob.
I'm talking about.
I am here. I don't know why I'm not catching you. Can you hear me?
And I was talking to you, wasn't talking. Now I can.
No, I tried my best to come on, and I don't know what.
Where'd you go? You're in, you're
out. I'm going to call back in, Apostle. Apparently my phone is acting stupid. I have to readjust it. Right, give me about a minute or two.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, okay. All right. Well, as all I was saying, who I know is here for sure, and we will really get to hear some good stuff when we talk. I'm talking about Brother Otis and Lady Gabriel. Are y'all here with me tonight?
And you are right. We are right here. Good evening, Apostle Whitlow.
Good evening. We're so glad to have you. Always a blessing and a privilege to have you, because we know that you have something to offer, something to contribute, and that's what matters to us here, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We want to, because I'm going to start something new tonight. I want y'all to hear it, and so that way y'all can be able to join in with this conversation. But would you do me a favor and be so kind as to pray us in tonight, sir?
Almighty God in heaven, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this opportunity to come together, Heavenly Father, to carry out your commandments of what a marriage should be. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the guidelines to let us know how we can have a productive marriage, bringing about love, peace, harmony, and, dearest Lord God, multiplying, propagating the species. We ask you to be with us tonight. Guide our hearts, our mind, and our tongue so that we may pass on information that will be encouraging and helpful to those listening and to ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. Be with us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank God for you so much. And by the way, happy birthday still to you. I pray that you've been enjoying since yesterday and that you will continue to enjoy it to the 31st of December this year.
Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. All right. So look at here. I want to read this scripture, and then we're going to share what we're going to talk about tonight. In Genesis, the third chapter, I want to deal with this for a little bit. While we were talking last week, I saw some things that brought me to this. We just got through dealing with Are You Marriage Material, and we dealt with different aspects of seeing possibilities of what makes a person marriage material and what keeps them from being that. And I believe that we really covered a ground. So now here's where I want to go tonight. In Genesis, the third chapter, starting with the first verse, we're going to go down to about the 13th verse, I believe. It says, and I'm reading out of the Message Bible, it says, the serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God made. He spoke to the woman. Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it, don't even touch it, or you'll die. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything. She took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. Makeshift clothes, huh? Okay. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the tree, hid from God. God called the man, where are you? He said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid. God said, who told you? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it. God said to the woman, what is this that you've done? The serpent seduced me, she said, and I ate. Or I tell you, the word of God for the people of God. For a little while tonight, I want us to discuss conquering failure in marriage. Conquering failure in marriage. I want to say this, that marriage was designed with this purpose, and I want to make sure you get it. marriage was designed to be the basis of human society and is reinforced by marriage. It is the basic institution found in all human societies because no other union of man and woman meets all the requirements of mating, homemaking, love, and personality development at the level of biological, psychological, social, ethical, and spiritual advancement. So understand that marriage has a very good purpose because it is designed to develop a relationship that is healthy for the man and his wife and for what they shall bring into the world. Marriage is the tool that God seeks to use, if you will, for procreation. There is a number of things that we must pay attention to when we look at marriage. God designed marriage, if you will, to last. God designed marriage to last. And in order for marriage to last, then there are certain things about marriage that we must understand. Now, having said that, there is a difference between what you do for a marriage and what you do in a marriage. Let me say it again. For marriage to last, it has to do certain things. So there's a difference between what you do for marriage and what you do in marriage. What do I mean by that? If you're writing notes, I want you to take this note, and we're going to get deep into this. First of all, you have to understand that in order for marriage to have an operation, there must be an occupation and an obligation. In order for marriage to have an operation, there must be an occupation and an obligation. I'm going somewhere to bring you into tonight's talk, all right? So first thing, the operation is an act or instance. It's a process or manner of functioning. So marriage has to have a way of functioning in order for it to actually work. But in order for marriage to have a way of operating, he must understand the occupation and the obligation. What is the occupation? Occupation is a person's usual or principal work or business, especially as a means of earning a living, a vocation. What I'm saying is that your occupation, it is the principal thing you do for the operation of the marriage. Your occupation is what you do to make sure the marriage can function. What do I mean? There are certain things that you have to have in a marriage for it to be a good marriage. And I'm talking about more than love. Marriage has to have a place to be housed. Oh, boy. So it doesn't get housed just because you say, I love you. It doesn't get housed just because you say, oh, you're good looking. It doesn't get housed just because you say, oh, you were something last night. No, no, no. There's an occupation. There is something you must do to make sure that the marriage has a place that it can operate. Okay, that's occupation. Now, obligation is something different. Obligation is something by which a person is bound or obliged to do certain things, which arises out of a sense of duty or results from custom and law. What do I mean? What I'm saying is when we understand that there has to be an operation of marriage, which comes by way of occupation, what you're doing for the marriage to be a marriage, then there is things that are in the marriage that has to work as well. Meaning that if I'm going to be married to you, you're going to be married to me, things you're going to have to do for me, certain things I'm going to have to do for you. Oh, boy, we're going to have to talk some talk here. Glory to God. See, because the whole objective of marriage is to operate so that your life functions in a manner that it causes our union, glory to God, to become that which requires the mating and homemaking and love and personality development at the level of biological, psychological, glory to God, personality development of biological, psychological, social, ethical, and spiritual advancement. Okay? So it does not happen if these things are not in place. Understand what I'm saying? If you're not doing your part for the marriage to work, then you can't get mad if the marriage is not working. The marriage can only work if you're working that which it takes to make the marriage work. That's where there is a problem, because people get married and all of a sudden they think that things are going to be hunkadory peachy and there's not going to be no other issues, and that's not true. I gave this long dissertation. Let me see. Bishop Designate, are you back with me yet?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. Yes, I am.
Have you heard what I've been saying thus far?
Well, I heard you mention certain elements that are going to be needed and or necessary in a marriage. And there was just one small ingredient that I was looking for. And I know we're talking about I know it's a failed marriage. I didn't hear the actual title. But give me the title, because I heard a good portion of what you were saying in your dissertation, but I missed your opening statement.
Conquering Failure in Marriage.
Conquering Failure in Marriage. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, primarily, Apostle, and good evening to everybody. I do apologize. Technical difficulties on my side. We're fixing it now as we speak. But primarily, when you're conquering failure in marriage, there's one thing I didn't hear you mention, and we probably talked about it last week, but it just wasn't mentioned this trip, and that is total commitment on both sides. Because if there's no total commitment, anything else that you bring to the table is almost going to be irrelevant. You know, and I often say this, I don't care if it's a marriage, if it's a business, whatever the case may be, if you ain't buying in to the project, then you cannot expect any positive results from that project. And in the case of a marriage, you want to, if you want to walk away from failure or not be caught up in the web of failure, then you're going to have to make that total, complete, undeniable commitment. I like the scriptures that you read, because in the beginning we heard commitment, we saw commitment was in action, but the minute something went wrong, it seems like that commitment, like a cheap suit, just tore away and went its separate direction, and everybody started playing the blame game. We can't get into the blame game, because the minute you start blaming your spouse for any one thing, first, you know, the minute you start blaming your spouse for any one thing, you've already lost that battle, and you're about to lose that war. Let me stop right there.
Okay, good, because you was about to get cut. I don't want to go too far. I don't want to go too fast, because I don't want people to miss this where we're going to go. All right. So, Brother Gabriel, have you heard anything that you want to touch on?
Of course. Yes. The first thing.
Okay.
Is going back to the scripture. There's quite a bit that is placed in each scripture in the Bible. And one thing that I heard was that Eve was listening to the serpent. And for me,
don't go too far, baby.
And the wife listening to someone else tell her, making statements about something that is contrary to what her husband had told her. And so that was the first mistake, as far as I'm concerned, that Sister Eve made. And why should she even be discussing, if her husband told her, just listen to it and let that be the end, let that be the gospel. Now, the three areas that you mentioned about, in order for a marriage to be operational or functional, that you have to have an algorithm, which is a system of processes to make it work. And that is something that would be established by a man and a woman in the relationship. And I do like the part that is we should really emphasize, and that we need a job. That in order for this to work out, you need someone earning income, because that is going to be essential to your survival. You need food and shelter and clothing, transportation. That is a need, not a luxury. And the other one was the obligation, that we have to have a full obligation to our spouse, and our spouse should be fully obligated to us. And that takes on into several different segments of a relationship, but we'll just start off with fidelity. It's just be true, and we can bring up other ones as you go through your dialogue tonight.
Amen. Amen. There are some things that are important. What did you say? It's important to have a job. One thing I can say about Adam, before he even got his bride, he was working. And because he was working, he was also fine. He was surviving the way he needed to. And something that Lady Gabriel said a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about being marriage material, she was talking about spending time living on your own for at least about a year, making sure you have a job and making sure that you're able to sustain yourself before you add someone to your life. It is a terrible thing to get married and live off of the person you married. Oh, boy, that's going to probably mess somebody up, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you get married without having something set in place and in order, and then you get married to somebody who already got it together, oh, boy, it's going to be problem after problem after problem after problem after problem, okay? And so these are things that we want to prevent. I'm telling somebody right now, you're thinking to yourself, I'm getting married real soon. Let me tell you something. If you ain't got no finance, please don't try to handle some kind of romance, because it's going to come up being nonsense. Please hear me when I say that. You can, because let me tell you something. There's a big difference between money and honey, because if there's no money, your honey go act funny. No ands, no ifs, no buts about it. And if things are not right, or things are not operational because somebody is not doing that what they are obligated to do, they are going to provoke other things to happen. So here's the thing that I want to do. I want to take this one step at a time. I want y'all to stay with me on this, because we're going to go for a little bit of a walk in this particular passage as we look at conquering failure in marriage. Because in Genesis, we find the first of everything. We find the first of marriage, what a good marriage looked like. We find the first failure in marriage. We find the first family feud. We find the first of everything in Genesis. So here's what I want to do. I really want to look at how failure came about, okay? So the Bible says that the serpent was clever. Please hear me. If the serpent wasn't clever, then the Bible wouldn't tell us in Matthew, the 10th chapter, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So therefore, the serpent has some sense. Lord Jesus, I want to help somebody. And so because the serpent has some sense, it was more clever than any wild animal God had made. This serpent was very clever. Please hear me when I say this. There are some clever people that are somewhere around you. Let me say it again. There are some clever people. I didn't say dumb folk. I didn't say illegitimate. I didn't say illiterate. I didn't say ignorant. I said there are some clever folk that are around you. Let me help you with that. So it says that the serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. So clever, the Bible said that he spoke to the woman. First thing is, if we are going to conquer failure in marriage, then the first thing we must do is nullify outside influences. Let me say it again. If we are going to conquer failure in marriage, then we have to nullify, or if you will, sever outside influences. Nothing will mess up a marriage more than outside influences. So let's see how we can deal with this. First thing, when you talk about outside influences, you have to develop, you have to talk about developing new relationships. Now, when we were in the first, when we were in the second chapter of Genesis, and we were in the 18th through the 25th verses, one thing we read saw, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. That's what the Bible said. So which means that if you're going to have a marriage, then you can't start developing new relationships. Oh, boy, because this appears to be what happened. People have a tendency, soon as they say, I do, to start developing new relationships. I need somebody to talk to me about developing new relationships. Will you talk about that tonight for me, Brother Gabriel, developing new relationships once you've gotten married?
Most definite. There's a time we talked about earlier about cleaving to your spouse. Now, when you cleave to your spouse and you become one, those outside influences, first of all, beginning with your friends. Some people, say a woman, would have some friends. Some were married and some were single. Once she becomes married, then, and same with the man, he hangs out with the boys. And once they become married, then they should have mutual friends. Friends that are friends with both of them. Not this is my friend and that is your friend. That can cause some problems. So that could be some unwarranted and negative impacting influence on your marriage if you would maintain those relationships that did not involve both parties. So that would just be one of many. And there was a person we were talking to the other night, my wife and I, and said that her husband had a group of female friends from his high school and college and neighborhood days, and that she didn't even know. And they would talk on the phone and go shopping and have lunch together, and that is totally unacceptable. And he's saying they're just friends, but that is what I think that one thing I know that I gleaned from the statement you made about outside influences, and that's just one of many.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Bishop Desmond, developing
yes,
new
sir.
Relationships. Come on, talk to me.
New relationships. perspective, you're just married. You're not even a year old. And unless you're willing to, and you should have done this in the early start before you even said I do, you should have introduced your spouse to your friends, and you should have been introduced to your spouse's friends. And just recognize the very fact that there may be a time that you'll be in the presence of those said friends. But if you're coming into a marriage, you're there just a year, and here you're coming with these new friends that I don't know anything about, them new friends is about to be kicked to the curb. I don't know them. We haven't had time to find out who they are. I don't know what they're up to. You know, and I'm not going to wait to see. We're not going to play the game. New relationships can work both ways if you're both, I'd say, honest with each other, but new relationships can be a detriment to your union if you turn around and try to have friends separate from your spouse. And I would say this, those who are married, especially in your first 3 years of marriage, get around other married people. You got no business whatsoever hanging out with other singles. You left that life. That life is a dead issue to you. Move on. That's all I'm going to say.
I appreciate what the both of you said. Here's where I want to look at, because this is a common issue when men and women get married. They have a habit of being flirtatious. They have a habit of flirting. And so here in the flirting, this is what people do, right? They get away from their spouse, and he sees this. Maybe let's go this route. I remember watching a rerun of Martin. Martin and Gina had gotten married. They had come back from the island where they got married, and Martin and Tommy and Cole, they decided to go to the gym to work out. Here Martin is, he's married, he got on his band, right? Now, while he's there, all of a sudden, you know, Cole and Tommy, they try to talk to the ladies. The ladies ain't paying them no attention. All of a sudden, the ladies are paying Martin attention, and somehow Martin, accidentally forgot his ring or something. All of the women started trying to talk to him, and, you know, and he's thinking to himself, oh, I'm still the man. I still got it. And this is something that is happening even in today's time. This is it. People get married, and they go to these different places that they go, and all of a sudden now what they want to do is they want to flirt. And I don't know who came up with this, but whoever did, they lied when they said there's no harm in flirting. Because if you flirt just a little bit, it's going to cause a whole lot of other issues. Has anybody ever dealt with this thing called flirting, or anybody noticed anything about this thing called flirting?
Of course, yeah. Flirtation is just the first step. A person doesn't just flirt, and then that's the end. Most of the time, a flirtatious remark is a test. A person will say something, say a man flirting with a woman. He will say something to her, which most of the time comes in the form of a compliment, and that is to see how she reacts. And then if she reacts positively to that comment, then the next comment he's going to make to her is going to be just at a higher level. Then he's going to begin to make comments about how he would like to be with her and what he would do if she was his. And so a flirtatious remark is just the beginning. It's a test to see what the response is, to see what your next step would be, and you will get higher and higher. The more you receive a positive response, then the deeper a person gets with an involvement with the person that he or she is flirting with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. So it's something you said when you said that flirtation starts with maybe a compliment to, if you will, initiate a conversation. That's how it starts. Come on, Bishop Designate, what did you want to say on that, Wise?
Well, and I have not quite a difference in what's being said. Flirtation is, first of all, from a married man to a married woman or vice versa, it's always a deadly issue. I want to take you back just a little bit to a Michael Douglas movie called Fatal Attraction, which also featured Glenn Close. And anybody who has seen that movie, you saw minimal flirtation, and it looked innocent, but it turned deadly. And this is the door that you open when you make it your business to turn around a compliment. You have to be careful this day and age, even when you pay a compliment. You walk up to a woman and say, oh, my goodness, you sure look good today. That dress is just beautiful on you. All right, you might have caught this woman at a time when she was vulnerable, just out of a divorce or a relationship, and she's looking for some level of affirmation. And then the next thing you know, isn't it funny how you go to the bar? I'm just using this as a for instance. Everybody don't drink and go to bars, but this is just a scenario I'm painting. Isn't it funny how you go to the bar to order a drink and she slips up on you to continue conversation with you? Now she's attaching herself to you. You have just lit the fuse that's going to create a fire within your relationship with your wife, because you are too fast with your mouth. You say, excuse me, how you doing? My name is Ernest, you know, and my wife is right over there, you know. I just want to let you know that that dress is beautiful. And then invite your wife over. Hey, baby, come here for a minute. Don't you think this is a beautiful dress? You just covered yourself. I wouldn't call you flirting in that respect, because if you're comfortable enough to give a compliment and then invite your spouse to be in on it, hey, you're still covered. At least that young lady knows that you have somebody that's very special to you. Or let's go on the flip side. Young lady sees a man very well dressed. She compliments her. Just call her husband over. Come on now. See, the thing we want to do is try to handle the situation. And when it starts getting out of hand, it's almost like someone who plays with matches around kerosene or gasoline. What do you think's going to happen if that match touches that liquid? It's going to explode. So if you're ready for an explosion in your relationship with your spouse, keep doing what you're doing. I guarantee it won't take long for it to happen. I'm done.
Well, you know, and I'm looking at that. Now, you said something that's interesting, but it also can trigger something different. Saying that, to say this, you know, yeah, you can say you look real nice in that dress, and then you're married, you call your spouse over, right? And you repeat the same thing to your spouse, and your spouse says, you know what, yeah, that is nice. And your spouse might even take it a little bit further and says, you know what, I've got a daughter or a niece who would look good or something like that. Where did you get it from? And you start a conversation, but you're developing a new relationship. But here's the thing now, okay? While you place that compliment, and though you have introduced your spouse, you said that that individual could be very much vulnerable. And in that vulnerability, there can also be secretiveness, if there's such a word. Okay?
Uh-huh.
There could be a secretiveness in her. And in her secretiveness, what she seeks to do is say, well, fine. He paid me a compliment, and I know he brought his wife over, but maybe he's the type who wants to play. So now what has happened is, because of this compliment is now going to cause a private, if you will, a private confrontation, or if necessary, a private consultation. This is the whole purpose of developing a new relationship. And it is very important that this doesn't take place, because if you're going to conquer failure in marriage, then you can't even allow something such as flirtation to be the root or the seed that produces it. Because notice what happened. Because I'm with you. I think what you said is so profound that a lot of people miss that. You pay a compliment, you bring your spouse over, and so your spouse is aware of the compliment. See, but again, you've got people who, you remember when we were kids and we would say we ain't going to do nothing like we ain't supposed to do, but behind our backs we're crossing our fingers, because there is something inside of men that is called wickedness. And the wickedness inside of man will cross their fingers as to double cross an honest innocentation. So I'm thinking to myself. Because I can tell you now, and this is the honest God truth. Anytime I had gotten married, boy, and I knew that I was into my spouse, I noticed all of a sudden all of these women come out of the woodworks. Oh, you know what? You've been my spirit. I've been praying for you. Oh, the Lord showed me a dream about you. And all of a sudden, they got all this stuff that they wanted to say. Oh, you know, I always wanted to tell you, you smell so nice. You dress so nice. You this and that. And, you know, so I had to get to the point where I had to, if you will, I had to blame it on my wife. And when I was married, that is. I'm not married, and I ain't saying that for nobody to call me up or nothing. But I'm saying I would do that, and I would do it just to get, you know, and I would blame it on my, I'd be like, yeah, well, my wife picked out that fragrance. My wife dressed me today or something, because I did not want in my humanity to get caught up with, because let's be honest, let's be truthful. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how Holy Ghost filled you are. I don't care how anointed you are. You still see the breast and the buns. And good God, if she got laid, it's going to make you want to shout. I don't care what nobody say. You know some good calves on a woman who got some clean legs make you want to shout and say glory to God. Let's tell the truth here. And so I had to catch myself and say, wait a minute. No, my wife, she picked this out. My wife, she brought this fragrance. I had to blame it on my wife. Why? Because that would be my way of staying safe. That would be my way of saying, I'm not going to allow anything to develop any further. Oh, and then, you know, then you got those who are real bold. Well, I heard you're in ministry. Yes, I am. Well, can you pray for me? I'll be praying when I get home. Later, God bless you. Can I have your number? No. You want to give me your? No. Why? Because because at that time, I knew my wife. And if some strange number was in my, because she would go, Lord, she would go through my phone. If some strange number was in my phone, boy, I would be in the doghouse for some days. And it's not cool. So I had to learn that I cannot allow an outside influence whatsoever. Why? Because if anything, I want to make sure that I'm safe in my marriage. And I'm discovering that people don't care whether they're safe or not. And this is not just men who go through this. If you go back in time and think about the movie Soul Food, when Bird got married, Lord, I remember her husband, who was Mekhi Piper in the movie, because he was married to Nia Long. When he got married to her, it was because she had made a call to an ex-boyfriend. Right, so here he is. He got this job. And this dude going to come and say, you know, Coca-Cola, you know, cola. And he's like, who the heck is cola? Oh, I'm sorry, you know, your wife, you know, she told me about your little problem. And so I pulled some things to get you a job. Oh, man. And when I look at her, ooh, she had that body. And then all of a sudden here he had a fight. Why? Because in his mind, he's thinking he's going to get another chance. Oh, boy. These are things that happen. And people don't pay it no attention. Outside influences. But the serpent began to talk to the woman. I come to tell somebody, you better watch who you're having conversation with. Because who you're having conversation with is really trying to get involved with your relations through negotiation. Ah, Lord Jesus. Come on, talk to me, Brother Gabriel.
All right. Now, with the thing that I look at, I understood what you said about once you get married, and then it seems as if the women are coming at you, you know, from different directions. I have a solution to that, a personal solution with me and my wife, is that we are together all the time. Now, I wouldn't recommend that to anyone because all the, you know, personalities and relationships are different. But for us, it has worked very well. Is that we are both retired and we are together every day, all day. And as far as the flirtations, people come up and they give us a compliment and we give them a compliment, you know, about whatever it is. We like to do that. And we're right together, so that compliment not become flirtatious because we are there together from the very beginning. It's not like that I was somewhere by myself and received a compliment and reacted to it. It's my wife and I are both talking to the same person. And that has worked very well for us, which goes back to the topic that you began with, and that was the outside interferences, outside influence. We're not tempted with that because we don't have any separate activities to where I would be exposed to someone or be exposed to someone saying something or doing something that may be impressive to us, that may appeal to us, and we're always together. And that has worked well, very well, for our marriage. And the things that we do together, it's just like, for me, it's just like being on a hot date, you know, all day long. And it just gets, for me, again, it just gets better and better, and then it becomes like habit for me that, you know, it gets so sometimes I don't even want to be in another room in the house. We have a gym in the house, and sometimes I like to go in the gym. I tell you, I'm a military man, and just work out, you know, just spontaneously. I think I go down to the gym and work out. Instead of doing about an hour, I'll be back in 15 minutes. Unless she comes down, which she does many times. So togetherness for me and my wife has been the solution. Like some things are preventable and some are reversible. I like prevention best. We don't have to say, I'm sorry, I was just, all these justifications and about why I did this. Is we just prevent problems from coming up in the beginning by being together.
I like that you preventative measures. But I have to say, in all honesty, that you being married for the decades that you've been married, times have changed from then till now. And so when people in your time got married, all y'all had was each other. I want to be truthful about it, and this is no form of disrespect. Please understand that. I had an aunt and an uncle before they left the land. They had been married about 72 years. And all they knew was each other. They didn't have no time for, you know, the opportunity for flirtatious experiences, because all they had was each other. But since somewhere, and I'm not saying that things have not existed over the course of time, but since the past 35, 40 years, times have changed where there is now more involvement when people get married, because people want to be involved the moment you say, I do. It's the most amazing thing. People you ain't thought of, people you ain't never looked at, all of a sudden, now you get married, they interested in you, they want your telephone number, they want your email address, they want your mailing address, they want to know your size for your outfit, they want to know what kind of food you're, I mean, and because all they're trying to do is develop a new relationship with you, because in actuality, what they're really trying to do is they're trying to draw you away. And that is the time we're in now, where women are trying to draw men away. Men are trying to draw women away. And what they do, and I'm sorry to say this, they use enticing measures. Let's just tell the truth. She know good and well if she walks by with that outfit that screams, come and get me, that the head gonna turn. And that woman knows good and well if he's outside working on his vehicle with no shirt on and he got a six-pack, that she gonna want to know how, if he could help her to get toned as well. See, here's the thing. A lot of times when these young people get married today, right, though they want to be next to each other and they are crazy about each other, they still want to give one another space. So I guess my question, and I won't try to think about this before you answer it, because we're getting ready to wrap up in a couple of more minutes. But think about this. Okay, you're a new couple, and but yet you want to be glued to each other, but you want space. How then, as a new couple, do I accomplish that? How do I show you that I love you, I'm crazy about you, I'm into you, but at the same time, how do I give you the space that you require so that you don't get tired of me? Because that's the time we're living in, and these are the things we deal with. Bishop Designate?
I'm just listening at the moment, and that's a very relatively easy question to ask. Because Brother Gabriel, my wife and I spend an exorbitant amount of time together in each other's space. But there are times when we have things that need to get done. For instance, we both work from home at the moment. I have my space downstairs in the basement in my office, and she has her space upstairs in our master suite in her office. That time right there allows us to take care of the business that's needed to be taken care of, to pay the bills, to do whatever we need. And when we need special time, just her to herself or me to myself, hey, listen, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. The one thing I will say, I've been in the music industry for 35 years, and we've only been married 8 years. She is the first woman, and I've been married a couple of times. Former wives were very uncomfortable with me being in the music business, as if I'm going out there looking for something to do. And the truth of the matter is, it was right there in my face. It didn't take much. I promise you, it did not take much. But what you had to realize is, if we don't have the commonality called trust, if she didn't have the wherewithal to believe that I am going to be faithful, we've got a problem already. I've not had that problem with my current wife, not one time. She's a businesswoman just like I am, and let me help you out with something to show you where she is. She deals with millionaire men on a constant, continuous level. I have to trust her. I have to have confidence in her.
And I deal with, and then when I say extremely beautiful, voluptuous, and well-noted women in the gospel music industry, I have to maintain a professional level. Trust is the issue right there. To answer your question, it's very simple. When it's necessary, do what you got to do. If it's not necessary, don't try to create unnecessary space, because then you'll create tension between the two of you in your relationship.
But now, here's what I want. Again, this is something that I want to look at. I wish that Apostle Smith was here tonight, because I surely pitch some of this to him, okay? Now, again, let me remind you, okay, that your generation is still different from what we call today's millennials. The mindset is different. Now, we go back to the scripture, right? You know, I'm certain that Adam, because he was able to handle Eve's nakedness, he didn't have any problem trusting her. I don't believe he had a problem trusting her. Okay? I don't believe she had a problem trusting him.
Can I interrupt you for a minute? Let me interrupt you for a minute. Did not Adam throw his wife under the bus? Hello?
We're not at that part yet.
But I'm just saying, you said that he trusted her. And I hear what you're saying. Go ahead.
But we want to follow it systematically. We want to follow it systematically. And while I understand what you're saying, we're not there yet. Where we are currently is all before everything went haywire. We have to deal with the before everything went haywire before to get to that point. So when he was at this point, while they are where they are in the garden and the serpent is talking, he's still there, right? But he trusts her. He doesn't overwhelm her. He doesn't say, get away from him. He doesn't say, don't listen. He doesn't do any of that. He shows his trust. He shows his respect. But he also shows that he's willing to love her enough to let her breathe. People get married and they slumber one another. They don't cleave. They slumber. And so when you smother, what do? You cause outside influences. Boy, I want to get into this so much that I want to look at this some more before I even let y'all talk about it. You know what? Listen, I'm going to leave this right here for tonight, because there's more into it that I want to get into, and because there's some other parts other than developing new relationships. On next week, I want to go a little deeper and look a little further than that. But this is the thing. The serpent began having a conversation with her, and he tried to approach her on a level where she believed she was. And you have to be mindful that people will think they can meet you on a level where you are intellectually to get you to move from where you're supposed to be legitimately. I'm going to leave that right there. Please remember that Making Marriage Meaningful will be back on next week, Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. This is so good. I'm getting excited, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. So I'm going to hold it right here. I want to say thanks to you, Brother and Sister Gabriel, for being here always. Thank you, Bishop Designate Ernest E. Richard Jr., for being here. Amen. And thank you, the producer, Dr. Timmy Robinson, for producing our podcast. For those of you who have been watching here on Facebook Live and listening in, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. Listen, I want to say this. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to talk good and walk bad. In other words, your marriage is meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. And if your mate pats you on the shoulder and you're married, roll over. But if you're single and you feel some kind of way, cold shower. That's all I got for you tonight. I'm going to look forward to going even deeper next week. But please do be mindful that there are some great things that are taking place throughout this month. It is the greatest month of the year, amen, because it is the month of great birthdays of some great kings that are here tonight, yesterday, and still celebrating is Brother Otis Gabriel. He's celebrating his birthday, and again, we say happy birthday to you. Continue to celebrate until the 31st of December. Amen. And there's another birthday coming up on the 19th, which is a national holiday. That's Bishop Designate Ernest E. Richard and another friend of mine. And then there's another birthday that takes place, what has been taking place from July the 1st to the 31st of December. Amen. That's the boy you're looking at right there, right now. That's one. Yeah, his birthday started already and it's continuing. So, hey. All right. What they can turn up and all of that. No, I'm excited. But seriously, I want y'all to know that there's some great things happening this month. Coming this week, the 15th and 16th The 15th and 16th of July, that's this month, here in the city of Augusta, the state of Georgia, I have this great man of God by the name of Dr. Tory Phillips, all the way from from Tallahassee, Florida, who's going to come and share with us during the Fellowship of the Saints. Services will be held at Friendship Baptist Church, 2543 Dean's Bridge Road. If you are in the CSRA, Central Savannah River area, we invite you to come. We say don't miss it. If you are in Renz, if you're in Thompson, if you are in Wadley, if you're in Walterboro, if you're in Charleston, Columbia, if you're in Greenville, you're in Anderson, listen, if you are anywhere within 2.5 hours of driving, you need to get here to Fellowship of the Saints, because it's going to be a powerful time in the Lord. You are going to be strengthened in your faith in Jesus' name. Then the 21st through the 25th of July, we will be in Convocation 2021 in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Jerusalem Temple Apostolic Church. I believe it's 2125 54th Street, if I'm not mistaken, in Indianapolis, Indiana. We've got some great men and women of God who's going to be there. We've got a community outreach day. We've got official day. There's going to be so many things happening. If you haven't gotten your ticket to get there, you need to get your ticket. Get on a bus, get on a plane, get on a train, get on a car, a skateboard, a bike, walk if you got to, swim if you must. But don't miss what God is going to do this month. All right? I done said enough. Let me tell you, have a great night. The Lord go with you, or better yet, go with God, and he will go with you. So happy that you joined us tonight. Until next week, we say shalom, shalom. Dr. Timmy, wherever you at, whatever you're doing, stop it and drop this thing like it's hot. You know, I'm talking about that track. All right, y'all, peace. We out.
All around. misery. Put up my wings like an eagle. I wanna fly away to a better place. No matter how far, I wanna be where you are.